Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in your daily life, in the politics of the world around us, and in our personal existence, and in our metaphysical awareness. This is Heather Owen Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight, the day after May Day, from Ronan, Montana, and I hope to be joined by Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley from New York and Florida, respectively. And at the moment, today, the moon, Mercury, is in Gemini. It entered Gemini on Friday, and the conversation picked up. Now, when Mercury goes into its own sign of Gemini, it may be harder to follow a train of thought, but boy, can we communicate. And at the same time, Mercury also entered its shadow because it turns retrograde the morning of May 10th. And it will back up in the sky over the next 3 weeks, but it's already entered the shadow, which means it's entered the part that it will back up over, and it's already slowing down. Mercury likes to move. This happens 3 weeks for three times a year with a few weeks on either side as the shadow, and asking us to be contemplative. When they say Mercury is the messenger of the gods, and if it's when the gods aren't communicating to us, we need to talk to the gods. That it begins the time when prayer helps, when journaling helps, when meditation helps, when it helps us to reflect, look within, even though the world is very busy right now. There are several other pieces that are happening at the moment. Venus just entered Aries, and in a week, Jupiter enters Aries. Jupiter is still about 4 degrees away from Neptune and bringing up that spirituality. We're shifting from a week where there was a beautiful lineup, which was really visible in the southern hemisphere, but we could see it even here right before dawn, when you could see the moon at one point, Jupiter, Venus, Neptune, and Mars all lined up. And if you looked carefully, north of that, about a sign, or not quite a sign, was also Saturn, glowing in the sky in the east in the morning. Now, it's always good when you see Jupiter and Venus to really let their sunlight enter your heart, help it soften those rough places, help melt your resistance and open your heart up to compassion and to the creative muse. But that sense of overwhelm, of feeling like we can only deal with one thing at a time, we can create magic, which was wonderful for May Day when we did a maypole around a living tree this year. It felt really right. But when you do that magic, but at the same time can feel like, oh, the world is too much with us, or if there's too much chaos or the energy ramps up, it can be really difficult. Now, I know 9 people in 4 states who came down with COVID last week, all who have had their shots, none of who are life-threatening, but that this new form of COVID is very Jupiter-Neptune. It is very, it enters into the stream, it enters in, it's very susceptible. The Omicron variations that are going around now, they're not being reported much because they are, people are testing at home and aren't going in for their tests, so it looks like it's going down, but this new form of COVID is in the higher respiratory system, not in the lungs, so it's less deadly and more catching. So be a little careful in this permeable, in bringing the energy in time around COVID. We also have Venus in Aries and Jupiter heading into Aries. Venus just entered Aries today, and it's going to start ramping up the energy, which is a little dangerous for New Mexico, which is under terrible fires at the moment. We're going to keep an eye on things that are flammable this week. And I see Mark Woltz has joined us. Mark, are you there?
Hello, Heather. How are you?
Good. And how have you been this week with all the Piscean energy now just switching into Aries?
Yeah, I like Pisces and Aries, so it's good for me. And I like carrying the energy of Pisces and Aries. It kind of softens the start of Aries.
Yeah, it does. And how have you been noticing the transits this week amongst your clients and your life and your observations of the politics?
Well, up until this week, there was a lot of Pluto and Saturn in esteem in people's lives. But now there's a lot more Venus and Mars and Mercury going on. And so people are more communicative, more lighthearted, and responding more in the moment, not looking at things with existential dread. So a lot of existential dread last week. But this week it's more, oh, look what's right here.
And how does that, and that is, you know, I think the existential dread with all those planets in Pisces was strong, you know, whether we looked to the Ukraine or we looked to the fires with that lineup in Pisces. It's wonderful when it feels safe to feel vulnerable, but it can be overwhelming when we feel challenged by our life. Now, I'm really, I have many friends in New Mexico who are in the line of fire at the moment, quite literally. There are 3 or 4 major fires on either side of Santa Fe heading for the town, you know, for the World University and heading for the town of Mora and Las Vegas, New Mexico, and, Cochiti and Bandelier. I'm sorry? You said?
My aunt lives just outside of Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Oh, how is she doing in this? Because it looks really...
It's smoky. She can't see the mountains. The rancher next to where she lives invited a bunch of his friends to bring their horses over for safekeeping. So people are... It's not just people, but... animals as well to watch out for.
It worries me, you know, it's part of how the ecosystems are adapting to the new environment as the ecosystems are changing, and the desert will be creeping up farther and farther north as it gets less and less moist in the southwest. But all the animals that are in line are in trouble. Now, I saw that last summer here when the fires came, how good people are about saving each other's animals. You know, the horses were all, we bring your horses to this parking lot and the people who can foster them will come get them. And they did and took care of them. That, you know, the animals reached our hearts in a good way. I see Venus going into Aries and Jupiter heading into Aries this week will both fan those fires and fires, of conflict around the world as well as those, but also fan the fires of our bravery. I think we'll see some pretty amazing acts of bravery as people try to figure out how to get through this. And we might find ourselves something that felt overwhelming last week now seems doable, like we found an answer once we didn't feel so overwhelmed now that Venus is entering Aries. I know.
Yeah, it's true. We'll have there's a shift in perspective. That's where, again, I feel like there was such an existential dread last week, but now it is more interesting what's right around us, what we can talk to, what we can hear. And that'll be especially true with Venus in Aries.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that.
Venus in Aries really wants to see things and feel things by doing. So Venus in Pisces, it was more of a get lost in the feelings kind of a Venus. And now when it shifts into Aries, it's the only way I know how I feel is because I do something. So there's a connection to people through doing things. So you'll see a lot more social activity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that sounds, you know, social activity, and yet, you know, it was the sudden dropping because the CDC said, oh, the pandemic's almost over. And I think it's more because people aren't reporting it when they can do self-tests. My son-in-law went to the baseball game and my eldest granddaughter went to a show and they both came down with COVID and gave it to everybody else in their family. Mm. And I've heard of that in Boston, in New York, in Arizona, and that, you know, just to be aware when the enthusiasm to rejoin the world, we work with it under good ways, and, you know, sensibly. That's not too easy to be sensible this week as the sun conjuncts Uranus in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even though it's in logical Taurus.
Surprises.
Yeah.
Could
be happy
surprises.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. It could also be, what do I do with this kind of surprises?
Right. It is.
Before the sun conjuncts Uranus, Mars sextiles it, and it's a Pisces Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. That's May 4th. That's in 2 days. And then 3 days it's sun conjunct Uranus. My correction here.
Yep.
And so how do you see that playing out? And tonight, Mars semi-squares Pluto, and I think that's the fires and the other things that we're seeing, which are a little scary at the moment. But what are you seeing?
Mars in Pisces wants to do everything at once. And when it sextiles Uranus, only one card gets played. And, you know, it's either the right one or it's not. Mars in Pisces takes a kind of devil-may-care approach to things, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you see that? I mean, I agree with you. I think that it can be just like not so aware of consequences, but what
exactly
do you see with that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not aware of consequences, not worrying about consequences, and also getting impatient with seeing all the things, all the possibilities. You know, when you look at all the possibilities for too long, it wears you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up saying, let me just pick. And it's like pin the tail on, you know, whatever, or throwing a dart at the dartboard. It's whatever it lands in, that's what it is. And then, you know, it can go full speed ahead. So it comes out of confusion and having too many choices to just say, give me one choice, forget the rest.
You know, and that's an interesting, you know, Mars in Pisces is slowly approaching. It's about 11 degrees away from Neptune. And it'll be interesting to see what Mars and Neptune conjunct. I'm thinking that comes about the time of the spring floods here, so I'm kind of a little worried about the effects of that spring flood. What I see with the Neptune in Pisces, since Neptune's been in Pisces, the climate extremes have felt more so, and I don't think it's going to get any easier when Neptune goes into Aries, but that we see too much water in one place and not enough water in another, that we see floods and droughts and floods and droughts. And I think that's going to become, you know, the way of the world for a while.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But we can adapt to that and figure out how to adapt with that. So the other, you know, so Mercury is about to, is in its shadow, getting ready to turn retrograde. Pluto is also getting ready to turn retrograde. And, you know, it's at 28 degrees now, and then it starts back, goes back to 26, then goes back to 28 degrees before it heads into Aquarius. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that affects some of the ongoing power struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of power struggles, and some of them are behind the scenes, and some of them are way in front of the scenes. And it's hard to know which one's worse.
And I hear that Putin has gone into is going into the hospital and have someone take over for him for 24 hours, but they don't say why.
I didn't hear that.
You know, it would be so nice if they did it in a different way, you know, that they kept it, that they, the person who was there decided that, you know, now let's run with it and end the war quick while Putin's in the hospital. But I doubt that's going to happen. I think he chose his temporary successor very carefully. They just announced that today,
yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that happens. So Mercury's in its shadow, heading retrograde in a week. A little over a week. So what do you suggest to people getting ready for Mercury retrograde?
Well, just be aware of everything you have to make decisions about, and especially things you have to do something with. Try to do that before it goes retrograde. If you wait till after, you can still do things, but there'll be a surprise here or there. Something won't line up quite the way you intended.
Right.
And that's okay.
That's what's
going to
be. Right. And that, you know, there with Mercury retrograde, the chance to get back to, I've saved a piece of editing an old manuscript just for Mercury retrograde because that's such a good time to go back and review, not to try to push forward, but to review what you've done before. I knew one person who, when she ran a printing press many decades ago, would take every Mercury retrograde off and just shut down, say no new orders now, and use that time to catch up and to give people their holidays and clean the shop. And she said she saved so much money doing it that way instead of reprinting or delays or people who change their minds after the printing had been done. So that was interesting. So in this time, to kind of think back on what you need to get lined up, to get ready, to think about what worked for you in the past with Mercury retrograde, to notice with, you know, one of the problems that Mercury in Gemini is such a fast thinker, but it's not always a deep thinker. So I've noticed with Mercury retrograde, people tend to communicate, continue to keep talking, but the misunderstandings proliferate. And how important it is to do that, take that time to check your facts, to, if someone gives you a bit of gossip, do not run with it until you've confirmed it. Really go back and check with the person involved rather than triangulate. So that they don't start snowballing those misunderstandings.
Yeah.
I think of often with Mercury retrograde.
Really if you have something you really want to communicate well, try it this week, Thursday and Friday, because Mercury is going to sextile that Aries Venus.
Yes. That'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
Help us find the right
words. Exactly. You'll find all the right words.
That's beautiful. And
this
so
whole week, actually,
with
there are a lot of sextiles.
Yeah.
It's really quite a pleasant week.
tonight there's that Mars-Pluto semi-square, but after tonight,
yeah,
it looks like it does. There's a pleasantness and there's an optimism. And if we can use that to grease things through into the next phase, that'll be lovely.
Yeah.
That'll be lovely. I think it'll help with the bravery and the efforts to connect with each other, to solve problems together. If we choose to, you know, I see the whole world working so hard to avoid the real problems, but any problem we can solve would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's time for us to take in a few people. If anybody wants to call in, I see a list of callers. Very few of you have raised your hand, so if you want to raise your hand. I see enough. Yep, there we go. And we'll get to you if we can. And area code 503-649, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, hey, guys. Hi.
Hi.
My birthday is October 23rd, 1975, and
yes,
I was born at 1:15 in the morning in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And how can we help you today?
I'm wondering what you can see as far as my career in, I guess, like the next year.
Mm-hmm. Is there
and
anything specific about that you were asking about? So that we can get to as many callers as possible tonight.
Okay.
Anything in particular?
No, just if you see any like general trends of where it's going, you know, anything.
Do you know what
for
your career is? Do you feel good about? Because Pluto is squaring your sun this year, and that to me is you're asking. It's just about to now. It's half a degree off, and then it's going to retrograde back and come to it again in the fall. And says it looks like, and it's coming from your sixth house of service and work, that you're asking questions about what is the meaning of your existence and are you doing enough and are you really on your right track? And if you are, it can give you the determination to get there. If you feel like you're off track, this is the year, I think, to make that turn, that there's good people around that can help you at the moment. Saturn, your progressed moon just passed Saturn in your seventh house. There's some old connections to make. So how do you feel about your work?
Good question. I like the general area, general subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure about where the company is going.
So what is your general subject matter?
Software engineering.
Okay. Looks like you've got the good mind for that. You've got a Mercury-Pluto conjunction in your natal chart, which helps you obsess on things when you've got a good problem. But you have to believe that you like the problem. And it looks like you've got a very altruistic side to you. You know, the part of you, you've got Sun conjunct Uranus in the third house. You're good at what you do. You're good at finding what the problem is and fixing it, almost even better than creating something from scratch is problem-solving things.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do both. But I think you have to believe that the company has good morals and is attacking good questions. And if you don't feel like that, then, you know, your progressed moon is coming up over into your seventh house. So it looks like there's after years of, you know, kind of not pushing yourself in your work and doing your personal life while your progressed moon was going through the bottom of your chart, you're foraging ahead, and it looks like, you know, the peak of your career is about 5 to 10 years from now in that time period. You know, like not a peak, it's like where you really like what you're doing and you get things in place for the next cycle. It's not like it goes downhill from there, but that's the innovative time. So in about 5 months, your progressed moon goes into Pisces, and you don't want to argue with people, but you might find that there's a company that calls you that you feel more compassion from, that you like what they're doing, and take that. And then in about 2.5 years from that, your progressed moon heads into Aries towards the top of your chart, and it looks like you move into a highly competitive time where you're doing good things and you're making things happen.
Oh, okay.
Is how I would see it. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you have a way of going with the flow more than you recognize. You know, there's a part of you that really wants to be very linear and have things figured out ahead of time, and there's another part that just does the dance. And you're moving into a period where you're gonna find ways to work with both of those at once.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So be ready for just quick adaptations, and you'll become the specialist at adapting things. So just
I've got a Gemini moon, so I'm pretty good at being flexible. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Good luck on that.
Well,
I'm going to take another caller.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, let that be your superpower, I think you might going to be saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, we have area code 206-999. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi. My birthday is April 28th, 1972, Columbus, Ohio, 2:08 p.m.
And how can we help you today?
I'm just wondering, the eclipse last weekend really fell on my son. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that eclipse for my birthday.
Well, it's interesting. It was actually your sun is at 8 Taurus, and it was at 10 Taurus. So it was 2 degrees past that. But your moon is 11 Scorpio, so it was opposed your moon because you were born just after the full moon. Do you know, how did you experience it? Was there any major event that you noticed?
I couldn't sleep. I kept getting up at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. It still happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that buzziness at the moment. It looks, I would say, you know, because you have your son in the ninth house of, you know, higher education and thought and philosophy and asking good questions, and your moon in Scorpio down in the third, how your mind works. I have a feeling it kind of, you know, you're, and you have Mercury in Aries natally, so that's a mind that doesn't like to rest anyway. Venus and Mars in Gemini, and Neptune's been squaring that Venus and Mars. You've had a lot of a busy dream world for the last year. I would keep an eye on changes. We said this was a soft eclipse, but keep an eye on changes in your neighborhood, changes around you, or people who suddenly go silent on you, and not because they're mad at you, but because they may need you to reach out and connect with them. But it doesn't look like it did anything terrible to you, but that you may be experiencing people to whom it was a challenge. Mark, what do you see with that? We've only got a minute left, so.
Yeah, I just need a chart now.
I'm working on a book, if that helps.
It may help you with that obsessive side. To really, you know, put it in a good place with that. But at the moment, while Mercury is retrograde, under this eclipse, you may feel like you need to come back and edit it in a slightly different way, or notice that you need to focus it more and make it more specific about some places. Just watch how that feels to you. It's in a good house. It's happening. The Sun-Uranus conjunction is happening up in your house of publishing this week. So you may be surprised at some contacts that you make over the next 2 months. I'd keep an eye out for that and reach out.
Yeah,
okay?
try not to make real definitive decisions, but rather kind of outline some new steps to take with the writing project.
So we're out of time for tonight, unfortunately. They're about to cut us off. I wish you well on that. Good luck. Think about how to make creative editing that's not vicious but kind to yourself. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. This is Heather Owen Robbins from Montana. Hey. And Mark?
Mark Waltz from New York City. Thanking you all for tuning in.
And Anne Ortley is out there with her kittens somewhere. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Actually, she's in Arizona, I think, this weekend.
Ah, wonderful.